But let's pray. Let's just start with prayer today. And this week is a little bit different. I am going to preach to you because that's what I do. But this is a little different than the way I preach. I mean, I'm not going to take you to one text and I'm not going to take you down word for word through it and just, you know, grab an understanding of, you know, an expository learning of a passage of scripture. We're going to do a little different. I'm going to share my heart with you today. I just feel kind of, as I'm leaving, this is what I want you to know, that this is what I want to hear. I mean, this is really what I expect from you. So just allow me to do that today and we'll kind of grow together. But let's pray. God, I thank you so much for just who you are. You're an amazing God. You're so faithful and you're so loving and you're so gracious to us. And God, you have given us the opportunity to come here this morning and worship you. We have breath in our lungs. And we have you to glorify because of that. So God, this morning, I pray that as we've made it to North Street Christian Church, and God, some of us maybe have come today to say goodbye. Some of us have maybe come today to hear a message. But I pray right now we would all get focused on the fact that we need to be glorifying you. We're here to worship you. And God, if it's any other reason, help that to just fade away. Help us to get that out of our hearts and get that out of our mind and to be wholeheartedly locked into the fact that you deserve worship and only you. So this morning we've come to give that. And so God, as I do share my heart and I do take us to a few passages in Scripture and we see what your word tells us, I pray that this would just be a fresh reminder for some people this morning of what their lives are supposed to look like. I pray that this would be convicting to some who have not yet bowed their knee to you and they would realize that there's more in life than what they're living for. And God, I pray that this would just be pure worship lifted up to you from out of your word. As we learn the truth of Scripture, it's then that we can offer up true worship to you. And so, God, this morning, I pray that that would take place, that you would be glorified. And that, God, as I end my stay here at North Street Christian Church, I would end it in such a way that you would say, I'm thankful for that man shepherding and the influence that he's had there. So, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. I was cleaning out my office this week. I spent, some time working on this sermon and some time throwing a bunch of stuff away because I had collected so much junk over the years that I had just kind of kept in there. And I'm a trinket, like, knick-knack keeper, I've learned. If you go look at my bedroom, which I have to clean out this week as well, it's just filled with pointless, stupid stuff. And my office was as well. Like, there were so many things I needed to throw away that I've kept over the years. So I did that. I was cleaning it out, and I was going through all my stuff. And I came across this, and so I brought it today to share with you guys. This says Jake Clutinati, and it has my address on it, and it says, January 18th, 2012, Dear Jacob Clutinati, I'm pleased to offer you your employment with North Street Christian Church. And Bob Seaver drafted this up and he gave me 24 hours to sign it and get it back to him. And I officially became an employee of North Street Christian Church. And that was January 18th of 2012, 4.5 years ago. And that was after I already had been here for a year as a... what do you call those things? As an intern? As an intern. They hired me on as an intern, and then I stayed after my internship and just continued to do the job. And then they hired me on as a full-time employee. So 5.5 years now of shepherding here at North Street Christian Church. And this is what it says. It says, summary. In other words, this is your job. The director of student ministries will lead ministry for junior high and senior high students and for college-age young adults. The director of student ministry shall seek to promote Christian community through building relationships with students, resulting in strengthening commitment to Jesus Christ and His church. And I certainly hope that I helped point you to relationships with Jesus Christ. And I hope I helped strengthen your commitment to our Savior, because that really was one of my goals. That is what I wanted to see happen. I didn't want to do anything but point people to the person of Jesus Christ. And my goal for 5.5 years now at North Street Christian Church was, I don't want people to see me. I want them to see Jesus. And so I hope that if you had the opportunity to be here for some of those sermons, for some of those opportunities, for some of those Sunday school classes, or the things that I was able to be involved in, I hope that you saw somebody who was passionate about the Word of God and realizes that he has nothing good to say, but this book does. So I was just going to take you to it and tell you what it said, and all for the point of pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. I wanted to see people who love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. And so I took you to the only place I know how to help you in that, and that was this book. But it really, really, really has been a blessing for me. You guys have been amazing. It's been a joy to be able to preach the Word of God here at North Street Christian Church. It really has. You guys took a young, goofy-looking kid who you saw grow up and you saw do a lot of stupid things. And you allowed him to have a position and allowed God to use him in your life. Because it really is amazing the fact that he's willing to use me, and I'm thankful for that. But I've tried my hardest in 5.5 years... to first of all love God more than anything, and then love you guys as a church and point you to the person of Jesus Christ. I really have. I've spent a lot of time praying for you guys specifically, by name. I've tried to pray for every single one of you at different times, and I spend specific times through my week doing that, just going through the people in our church and in our directory and the faces that I see, and lifting you up in prayer and saying, okay, God, what am I supposed to preach? I want them to see you, so I need to take them to your word. Where in your word do they need to go? What do I need to teach them? And as I know, you know, some of you are going through different things or what you're dealing with in life, I would pray about those specific things, and I would go to the Word of God for the answers, and then I would study those passages out until I felt like I had, you know, the real interpretation of what God was trying to say there and what God wanted us to know, and then I would just passionately present it to you guys and hope that it taught you something. But it really, really has been a blessing, and I'm so thankful for it. I know I've kind of already said this, but 5.5 years of ministry at North Street Christian Church will forever be my start. That'll never go away. I don't know what God has for me in the future. I don't know where exactly He's going to take me, but my first 5 years of ministry will always be with you guys. My first 5 years of shepherding will always be with you guys. And I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't want it any other way. It's been nothing but a blessing, and you've blessed my life. I hope that you could say the same. But today is not about me. I don't want it to be. You are going to get some of that. I mean, this is my goodbye message. But it isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. You haven't come here to see me say goodbye. You've come here to get into the Word of God and to experience who our God is, to see the glory of our God, to talk about Jesus Christ, the visible representation of our God. And so that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to go to the Bible and we're going to learn. And we're going to learn from this. This is what a pastor wants to hear about a church. And I added, even after he's left there, that's kind of for me. I'm leaving. But that doesn't mean I'm dead. I will still be in touch. I will still be in contact. There's things called social media nowadays that are phenomenal. And you can literally keep up with people you've never even met. I mean, it's crazy the things that I know about people. And I'm like, I'm not even entirely sure who this person is. Because social media is really amazing. So we will still be in touch. I will still hear things about North Street Christian Church. I mean, there's a lot of you. And you guys are a big part of my life. So yes, as I'm moving on to something else, I will still be praying for the people of North Street Christian Church. I'll still be wondering what's happening in the lives of the people of North Street Christian Church. I'll still be checking the website and listening to the messages of North Street Christian Church. I mean, those are still things that'll be going on in my life. So it's not like this church is completely disappearing out of my life. As I go away, I will still hear things. I will still learn things. I will still know things about the church of North Street. And I will be back, by the way. I'm hoping to come home at Christmas time for a visit. I'm hoping to come home maybe in the summertime if I can for a visit. I will definitely be back for certain weeks. And when I come back, I'm going to ask. I'm going to say, hey, people of Butler, have you ever heard of North Street Christian Church? And these are the things that I would like to hear. These are the responses that I would like to get. This is what I think any good pastor wants these things for his church. But these are specifically coming from my heart to be, hey, North Street Christian Church, this group of people that I know that I've grown to love, this is what I want to see from their lives. This is what I want to hear they're doing. And so we'll just go right through it. We're not going to waste any time today. Number one, I want you to be people who are completely obsessed with the glory of God. This is what I want to hear. This is my prayer for you. These are the types of things that I've been praying for you for 5.5 years now. And as I go away, I can just really kind of pour my heart out to you and tell you this. But I mean, if I said, hey, have you ever heard of North Street Christian Church when I come back and visit Butler? I want people to be like, yeah, I don't go to that church because that church does nothing but talk about God. That church doesn't entertain me. That church doesn't focus on what I want. That church doesn't have fancy lights that are flashing and all this extra stuff. That church is literally just focused on God and how He deserves your glory. That's what they talk about. They tell me that it can't be all about me and it has to be all about Him. They tell me that no longer can I live however I want because I have to live in such a way that would please God. That's what I want to hear about North Street Christian Church. And not just from the preaching and not just from the people up front and the leaders. I want to hear about everybody here. I mean, I want you to be people who are completely obsessed with the glory of God. That should be on your mind, that should be your focus. That should be the thing that drives you. That should be your filter for everything that you do. Do you realize that every single thing God does is for His own glory? Everything. So as Christians, as followers of that God, as people who have died to self, come alive to Jesus Christ, are new creations in Jesus Christ, and we're about that God, you should say, everything that I do, I want it to be for God's glory. I mean, the way you speak should point to Jesus and should be all about for God's glory. The way you act should point to Jesus and be all for God's glory. The way that you live, the way you use your money, the way you love, the way you interact with people. I mean, everything you do, do it for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Great Bible verse. It's had a gigantic impact on my life. Most of you probably know it, I hope. But whether you eat, drink, say or do it all for the glory of God. He makes it pretty simple. He doesn't confuse us in that. Listen, if you're eating something, eat it for the glory of God. That covers food. That covers what goes into your mouth, what goes in you. If you're drinking something, okay, because you're right, somebody could put the argument up that, well, I'm not eating, I'm drinking. So whether you eat, whether you drink, what goes in you, make sure that it's for the glory of God. It's not for your benefit, it's for God's glory. You don't eat it and drink it because it tastes good to you. I mean, and it is okay to eat and drink things that taste good to you. I really like pizza. So I eat a lot of pizza. It tastes good to me. But when you're eating things, make sure you're eating them for the glory of God. That's the goal behind it. Eat, drink, say. That's what's coming out of your mouth. So what's going into your mouth, what's coming out of your mouth, and do. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? What you do, do it for the glory of God. He's given you four categories and He's covered everything. The way that you live your life needs to be for God's glory and for God's glory alone. That's how God lives. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but do you realize that's why God created the world? I mean, you back all the way up to creation. God created the world for His glory. And then God spared the world for His glory. He didn't wipe it out whenever they sinned like he very well could have. And then God said, you know what? I created man, and man was in my favor and good grace with me. They walked with me, and then man sinned. Man wronged me. Man couldn't live up to my standard, and they fell out of it. So God looked over that sin, and He sent His Son Jesus Christ so that man could get back into His right standing, so that we could have a relationship with Him, so our sins could be justified. Why? For His own glory. That's why God does everything. You have breath in your lungs and you're here today because God wants to be glorified. So glorify Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. What were they created for? Him. They're His. They're to be used for Him. They're to be for His glory. Do you realize how often we live for our own glory? I mean, before you became a Christian, that was your whole life. Your life was about you. Your life was lived for what was best for you. Your life was thought about what you wanted. And I'm not saying you didn't ever do anything for somebody else, or you didn't ever do anything that you thought would benefit somebody. Sure, I mean, I've met non-Christians who are very gracious or very kind. But the problem is, every time that we've been able to have a conversation and they're honest and we were able to boil it down, yeah, they're very kind, but they're very kind because they think it benefits them. Because it's for them. Because it makes them feel good. Because it makes them feel like they're doing what they're supposed to. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, you've died to self. It's not about you anymore. You're alive and you exist for the glory of our great God. The same reason that He's created everything, does everything. You're in partnership. I love that way of looking at it. John, in 1 John, he says, we write these things so that you can have fellowship with us. He wants you to be in partnership with Jesus Christ. And if you're in partnership with Jesus Christ, which is what happens in Christianity, Jesus Christ's goals become your goals. You partner with Him. You're after the same thing, and that is the glory of God. I want you to be obsessed with the glory of God. John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now you guys, some of you are Bible students. Some of you understand this. We're to the point where Jesus is about to be hung on the cross. I mean, not too long from now, he's about to go have dinner, the Last Supper with His apostles, and then He's going to have lots of conversation, and He's going to go to the garden, He's going to pray, and He's going to get arrested, and He's going to go through these mock fake trials, and they're going to hang Him on a cross, and He's going to die. I mean, we're not that far away from this point. And it says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So they were literally going to take Jesus Christ, the innocent one, God in the flesh. They were going to nail Him to a cross. They were going to put big spikes through His hands. And first they beat Him and they bruised Him and they put thorns on His head. I mean, it was bloody and gruesome and ugly and horrible to look at. I mean, it was not a pretty picture. As Jesus Christ hangs there, naked, humiliated, and it says the Son of Man is glorified. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. How in the world is the picture of the crucifixion a picture of glorified? A picture of glorification. Everything God does is for God's glory, and including killing His Son. And here it is. Ready? God's glory is displayed in His grace. You and I experience the grace of our God on a regular basis. So His glory is displayed in His grace. And His grace was maximized at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest picture of God's grace that we can have. God Himself dying for our sins as opposed to us. God Himself taking our place. So God is extremely glorified when His grace is extremely evident, which was at the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hung there to be the picture of grace, which is God's glorification. And your life needs to be in line to the same thing. We say it constantly here at North Street. I'll bet you in 5.5 years, I'll bet you over 100 times I've prayed in church for the glory of God. That we would, you know, live for the glory of God. I bet you it's more than 100 times. It's not just something we pray or something that flows nicely so we say it. It's what you as a Christian are supposed to be living for. I want you to be people that are completely obsessed with the word, with the glory of God. And that's what I want to hear. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at this verse. Ephesians chapter 3, and when we get to the end of it, I think Paul explains this pretty well on the way that it's written. We'll start in verse 14, Ephesians 3:14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge," ready, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That you and I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Keep reading. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ." So He's saying that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you and I glorify God? By being filled with God. That's the church. He's talking to the church. The church is able to be filled with all the fullness of God. And then He goes on to explain it. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church." You're the church. True Christians, true followers of Jesus are the church. And so what we're called to do, what as the church, we need to be filled with all the fullness of God so that Christ can be seen in and through us and God can be glorified. That's your job. Christ needs to be seen in and through you so that God can be glorified. How do you do that? He has to fill you. He does it through you. Listen. People today get so focused on what they want, on what's best, on what they think is right, on a pursuit of all kinds of things. We need to stay focused on the important stuff. on the glory of God. I heard a message recently. It was so good for me. But the pastor was saying this. He was saying, listen, we live in a day that is obsessed with knowledge, the pursuit of knowledge. Everybody wants to know everything. And he said, listen, one of the things that I've learned in my life is you don't have to know everything. But you have to be ruled by a few things. And the first one that he named was, everything God does is for God's glory. And that's the way we need to live too. I mean, that's it. Listen, we could argue about different theologies, about different texts, about what different things mean or the point of it. Listen, you can go to all kinds of different churches across Butler today that teach different things. Because we can't come to agreement on what the Bible says on everything because they're wrong. But here's the thing. We get so lost in all that stuff. When you know where we need to be focused? On the glory of God. If you're not focused on the glory of God, you're missing it. I think Satan loves the fact that we get into arguments about, you know, the different things that, and we're talking about the Bible. I mean, I believe this about the Bible. I believe this. And we get into this big, huge argument about it. And you know who's not discussed at all? Jesus Christ. You know who we missed? The person that it's all about. You know who's not glorified? God isn't, because we're missing the whole idea of it. Let's focus on where our focus needs to be, the glory of God. I want you to be obsessed with it. So that whether you're eating or drinking or saying or doing, everything that you do is filtered through the idea of, is this glorifying to God? Listen to me, North Street Christian Church does some things extremely well. I mean, there's some things that I feel this church does very well. But they all mean nothing if they're not done for God's glory. Be obsessed with it. Number two, I want to hear that you're people who are completely obsessed with the glory of God. I want to hear that you are people who are constantly preaching and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, have you ever heard of North Street Christian Church? Yeah, I've been to North Street Christian Church. All they talk about is the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, every Sunday it's brought up. I'd be like, you know what? If I got into town and I was looking for a church and I said, hey, have you ever heard of North Street Christian Church? And somebody was like, yeah. I mean, I feel like all they talk about is the cross. I'd be like, I'm going to that church. I'm going to go check it out. Constantly preaching and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. It's a verse that I've used many times with you guys. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says, for I desire to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you guys know this. Paul was not a stupid man. Paul had a lot of head knowledge. Paul called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul would have had the law. I mean, the Old Testament. He would have known it well. He had a lot of it memorized. He prided himself at one point in his life on how he was able to keep the law, or so he thought. But that was what his life was all about. It's not that he didn't have any head knowledge. It's not that he didn't know anything else. He was a very, very smart man. But he comes to them and he says, I desire to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ and His cross. That is what matters. That is what we talk about. That is what we spend our time on. That is what the Bible is about. So that is what we go to. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It should be in every single sermon. Listen, for 5.5 years now at North Street Christian Church, I have tried to make sure that Jesus Christ and the cross is somewhere in the message every single time that I preach to you. And disclaimer, that's not hard, because that's what the whole Bible is about. That's what it all points to. But I think that's the way it's supposed to work. We point them to Jesus. The Old Testament, written about Jesus and what Jesus was going to do. Come to the cross. The New Testament flows out of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that, as a church, that needs to be what you talk about. That needs to be what you boast in. Not your talents, not what you're good at, not the abilities that God has blessed you with. Because what did you do to earn them? Nothing. God gave them to you. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and made a way for you to get into right standing with God. That's what we boast on. That's what we're excited about. That's what we tell the world, because that's what the world needs to hear. That's what we encourage each other with. I mean, that's our message. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, if everything that we're supposed to do should be for the glory of God, if we're going to be people that are completely obsessed with the glory of God, and God's glory is displayed in His grace, and God's grace is maximized at the cross of Jesus Christ, why in the world do we not talk about the cross of Jesus Christ all the time? That should be our message. Because that's how God is glorified. Constantly preaching and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, anybody who is a true Christian loves it. You never ever get sick of the message of the cross. It's where you died to self and you came alive. Listen, this is where the wrath of God was poured out. Upon the cross, upon Jesus Christ as He hung on the cross. That's where the punishment for your sin, was laid upon Him, on the innocent one, on the one that didn't deserve it, Jesus Christ. It was on the cross. It's where the blood of Christ was shed. His innocent blood was shed, and your guilty blood doesn't have to be on the cross at that place. It's where the grace of God was maximized. It's where the peace with God was made possible. You and I were enemies of God, and now we are at peace with God because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. It's only through that. It's where redemption was accomplished. It's where it was finished. Jesus Christ hung there, and He finished the work that He had. He finished the hold that sin has upon us. It's where the lamb was slain. The innocent, final, sacrificial lamb was slain so that you and I wouldn't have to be upon the cross. It's where you and I found life. It's the cross. We need to focus on it. We need to tell the world of it. We need to take them to it. I preached you guys a message. I don't even know when it was. It's literally just popping in my head right now. But I preached you guys a message called Take Them to the Bloody Cross. That's our message. That's where we're going. I'll never forget it. I heard a story once of an old preacher who had to preach before a group of people, and his professor, the guy that he really looks up to, was there, and he preached his message, and he went up to the guy afterwards and he said, "What did you think? Like, did you like my message?" And the guy said, "Oh," and kind of acted like, "Not really. Oh." And, well, the kid said, "Well, what was wrong? I worked really hard on it. I spent a lot of time on it. I really felt like I nailed it and I did it right." And he said, "Was my exposition of the passage not right?" And the preacher said, "No." He said, "It was right. I mean, you hit the right stuff. You focused on some good stuff." And he said, "Well, you know, was my delivery bad, or did I do something incorrectly?" He said, "No, it was fine." And the kid said, "Well, what was the problem?" And the old man said, "Oh, well, there was no cross. You didn't talk about the cross." And the young man says, "Yeah, but the exposition of that passage doesn't talk about the cross. That one's not about the cross." And the old man just, you know, lovingly instructed him and said, "Listen, it's all about the cross. It's always about the cross. It always points back to the cross. That's the point of our text." Charles Spurgeon, great preacher. Absolutely love reading his stuff and looking at some of the things that man was able to accomplish. I'm just so impressed by the way he loved Jesus and the mind that God blessed him with. But I heard an interview one time, and Charles Spurgeon said this. They said, "Listen, how do you come up with what you're going to preach? How do you do that? How do you put that together all the time?" And I'll never forget it, because it's so not the way I do it. But he said, "I just pray about it and I say, 'God, what text do you want me to preach from? What text do you want me to preach from? What text do you want me to preach from?' And I do that part." But he said, "Sometimes it'll be Saturday night before God has revealed to me the text that I'm supposed to preach on the next morning." But he says, once God reveals to me the text that I'm supposed to preach on, he said, it's easy because all I do is make a beeline from that text to the cross. How does that point to the cross? And he said, then I preach my message. That is what you are to preach and boast in, the cross of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Don't miss this because this is so, so important. Verses 14 through 18. It says this. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Amen. Boast in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There are only two kinds of people in this world. We'll boil this down and we'll make it extremely simple. This is what Galatians chapter 6 was reminding us of there. There are only two kinds of people in the whole world. There are those that glory in the flesh, and there's those that glory in the cross. Those are your two options. If you're here this morning, you're either glorying in the flesh and what you've done and what you've accomplished and who you are and what you can achieve, or you're glorying in the cross and what Jesus Christ has already accomplished and what Jesus Christ did upon the cross and the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. It comes down to human achievement or Christ's accomplishment. Everybody in the world is on one of those two paths. That's why as Christians we are so thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ. We boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. We are constantly talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the way. It's the only way. There's nothing you can do. If you're banking on how much money you've given to the church, or if you're banking on you know, the way you've lived, or how grateful you've been for certain things, or how many times you've gone to church, or how many, you know, potluck dinners you served, or whatever the case may be. Listen, there's nothing you can do to earn your way into God's right standing. There's no amount of money you can pay, no amount of specific prayers you can say, no amount of tradition you can go through, nothing. That's why we boast on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ already accomplished it for us. We put our faith and our trust in that. And Christians love it. People who are completely obsessed with the glory of God, people who are constantly preaching and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I want you to be people who are close-minded apart from the Word of God. Mandy Saylor was here in first service, and she lives in Colorado, and she works there for an organization. She works on a magazine called Set Apart Girl, and I occasionally read the magazine that is called Set Apart Girl. It's a really good magazine. I'm not ashamed of that. They really do have some phenomenal articles. I would encourage everybody here who, especially is a girl, go read Set Apart Girl magazine. There's just amazing stuff in it. But they wrote an article not that long ago, and as I was reading through the magazine, it said, "We want you to be canon minded." That was the name of it. Canon minded. And what they were doing is they're talking about the canon of Scripture. I'm saying, I want you to be close-minded apart from the Word of God. In other words, canon-minded. The canon of Scripture, the 66 books that make up the canonization of your Bible, I want you to be close-minded apart from that. In other words, the Word of God is your standard. Listen, we live in a day where there's no standard. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Everybody does what is best for them. Except there is a standard. They're just ignoring it. At the end of the book of Judges, we just did a series through Judges, and Pastor Bob highlighted this every week. He said, there was no king in the land. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now listen, there was no earthly king in the land, but there was a king. It was the King of Kings. God was their king. But they were living like there was no king in the land because there wasn't an earthly king, and everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Same thing's true in our day. We're living like there's no standard and everybody does what's best for them, when in reality there is a standard. It's called the Word of God. It has everything that we need. It has the answers. Beliefs, laws, culture, society, it's constantly changing. Constantly. Do you realize that not that long ago, a child, a small child, a kid who's just learning how things work, has the ability to tell the difference between a man and a woman? Today in our society, I'm not sure if adults know the difference between a man and a woman. In reality, they do know the difference. They just aren't willing to live according to the standard. I mean, our society is so screwed up. And here's the thing. It's just going to get screwed up again in a different way. And then again in a different way. Because there's no standard, and everybody continues to do what's right in their own eyes. It is constantly changing. It's shifting. It's moving. If we tried to look at the culture and begin to look at all the things that go on there and build our understanding off what the culture is, literally a few years from now, we'd have to completely redo it and rebuild it because it's going to shift and change it constantly. That's what it's doing. It never stays the same. But see, Christians don't live according to the never-changing or to the constantly changing culture. We live according to the never-changing standard of God's Word. Never-changing standard of God's Word. It withstands the test of time. I remember whenever we were legalizing gay marriage in the entirety of the United States. I mean, you know, we weren't really following the Constitution and we were deciding they were going to do it however they wanted. And I can remember a bunch of people beginning to argue against the church. And I read many articles on how, listen, as culture changes, the Bible forgot to. That was the idea of these articles. So the church isn't coming along with culture. You know, I mean, they were kind of putting the church down. They were putting it down to say, listen, that book forgot to change. It never changed with the culture, but culture is evolving and changing. When in reality, we need to look at it the opposite way. Culture continues to evolve and change, but the Word of God is constantly the same. I will stand upon that. I will firmly fix my feet upon the absolute truth that doesn't change. Churches today, they're always trying to be new. New to keep up with the constantly changing culture. What do I want to see you guys be as a church? Old. People who just stick to the old. The Word of God. Close-minded apart from what this book says. The perfect, complete Word of God. It should be your standard for everything. There's 66 books in here. Written by 40 different authors. On three different continents, in three different languages. And it all unifies for one common goal, the glory of God, by pointing to the person of Jesus. The whole book. It's an unbelievable thing. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Some of your Bibles probably say true. Every single word that God speaks, and God is the divine author behind all 66 books that we have in this thing called the Bible. I honestly, I hope that as I leave North Street Christian Church, one thing that you can say is that guy was obsessed with the Bible. I honestly have tried to tell you nothing of what I think in 5.5 years. I've tried to just take you to a book and say, this is what God has already said. Let's just look at it. Let's go through it. It is the power of God. Let's go to it. Let's learn it. Let's see what it says. Let's take our beliefs from it. Let's deal with every situation from it. Whenever society tells us that homosexuality is okay, what do we say? What does the Word of God say? Whenever both of our candidates for presidency are absolutely nuts and we're not sure which direction to go, what does the Word of God say? Whenever somebody stands in front of you and teaches you something, you should say, what does the Word of God say? Listen, I'll be the first, me, today. Take everything that I've said in this message and check it out according to the Word of God. Make sure it lines up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love that section of Scripture. It's your job. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, he says, rejoice always. Then he says, pray without ceasing. Then he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then if you continue to read that section, he says, do not quench the Spirit. And then he says, do not despise prophecy. This is your prophecy. He's saying, do not despise the written Word of God that God has given you. And then if you continue, he says, keep the good, get rid of the bad. Do not despise prophecies. So love the Word of God. And when somebody gets up in front of you to proclaim and speak the Word of God, test everything according to the Word of God. Keep the stuff that's good. Get rid of the stuff that's bad. False teachers are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. That means everywhere, right? Sometimes I get that saying confused. They're all over the place. They're not hard to find. We live in a day where, I mean, men want their ears tickled, where people don't want to hear the truth anymore, and so there's become all kinds of preachers that'll tell people what they want. Every single thing that you hear, everything, you need to run it through the filter of what does God's Word say? Stand upon that. Be canon-minded. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It has everything you need. It has all of the answers. It's where we need to go. Open with me to Psalms chapter 19. Let's read these. In Psalms chapter 19, you have these amazing verses on the Word of God. That's what this is describing to us on this book that is the only thing that we want to filter everything through it. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the souls. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. That's the Word of God. That's what we stand upon. That's where truth comes from. Everything that anybody ever says to you, filter it through the Word of God. Keep the good, get rid of the bad. I've told this to our young adult group so many times here as we've gone through the years, you know, these last few years teaching. But I always tell them, listen, nobody will ever say it as good as God has. So I'm not telling you nothing. I'm plagiarizing 100% off of God. That's what I do. I literally just open the book and I look at it and I study a section of Scripture, a passage. I get a good understanding until I feel confident that that's what God meant. That's what God wanted us to learn from that. And then I just go down through word for word and I explain it to you guys. That's how I teach. because I don't think anybody can ever say it as good as God already has. Let's just go look at that. The Bible needs to be your standard. I want you to be close-minded apart from the Word of God. Number four, I want to hear that you are people who are calloused in the knees from continual prayer. I want you to be people who pray. Listen, it's no secret that Butler has some issues. I work at this church, so I spend an awful lot of time in this town, and I see an awful lot of stuff that goes on here in Butler. I mean, we got drugs are just, I mean, they're running rampant in Butler. It's crazy how easy it is to find the stuff, how easy it is to get stuck in a system that is disgusting. Homelessness is on the rise. I mean, listen, I love North Street Christian Church, and I love the ministry that God has given us here, but most of the people in 5.5 years that came in and said, I need to talk, and I would have an opportunity to go talk, I'd be like, great, let's talk about Jesus. And they'd be like, how about you just give me some money? I mean, that was pretty much what they were there for. It's a big part of our culture. This city is lost. This city is dying. This city is in trouble, and what they need is Jesus, and what we need to do is get on our knees and pray for them. Why in the world would we try to accomplish anything apart from God? I think often in Christianity we tend to go before God as like a last resort. It's like our safety net. Like I can try this and fail and try this and fail, and then maybe I'll go pray and talk to God about it and see what He wants. Or I'll go look around and, you know, see what options are out there, and if nothing, then I'll go talk to God and I'll pray. And I just think that's backwards. That's the wrong way to look at it. That's immaturity in Christianity. I think as you grow and as you mature as a Christian, you spend a lot more time talking to God. That's been the pattern in my life. That's been the pattern in every real Christian's life that I've ever seen. Your prayer life will increase as your maturity increases. And you know who the most mature Christian is? Because we often get this wrong too. We look at maturity like it has to do with time, like it has to do with who's been the Christian the longest, or you know, that guy's been saved for 50 years, so he's got to be pretty mature. That guy could be an infant when it comes to Christianity. He might know nothing. It has to do with knowledge. The Bible says, no longer be a child tossed to and fro. In other words, how are you no longer a child? You know the Word of God, and you can defend the Word of God. So the more knowledge that you gain, the more you grow in your maturity. What's the entire Bible about? It's about God. It's about Jesus. So it reveals to us the nature and the character of our God. So as you learn Scripture, you learn the nature and the character of our God. And the person who is the most mature Christian is the person who understands God the best. And here's what I promise you. The one that understands God the best is probably the one on his knees the most. Because when you get an understanding for who God is, you want to bring everything to Him. He created the whole world and everything in it. He holds it all together. Why would you not bring stuff to Him? And He loves you. I mean, go read Luke. You want to see a good attitude of prayer and why we bring things to God? Because He loves us. I mean, it's amazing. As you mature as a Christian, your prayer life will increase. And it's something that I hope to see from you guys, because I really think that is where the church needs to start. Our churches are just falling apart as we've gotten farther and farther away from the standard of God's Word, as we're no longer preaching and teaching the cross of Jesus Christ, and God isn't being glorified in and through them. Well, the church needs to pray. That's where it starts. I promise you, you can't do it, but He can. So we'll take it to Him. We'll lift it up to Him. We'll bring it to Him. And prayer is not for our gain. Here's a gigantic misunderstanding in the church today. Gigantic. You have an entire movement of people that I think get this wrong. But prayer is important. But what are we obsessed with? The glory of God. So what should your prayers be focused on? The glory of God. They're not for your gain. They're not for your benefit. You're not going before God with this idea that if I have enough faith and I ask enough times, or I bring this to God, He's going to bless and give to me because I want. No. The things that we want need to be the things that God wants. That way, when you pray the things to God, God does give them to us. Like holiness, or like, God, I want You to be glorified, or God, help them to see their need for You. It's all about what will make His name known. That's real prayer. Going before a holy God with the desire of glorifying that God, and then you ask for the things that will glorify Him. North Street Christian Church, I want you to be people that hit your knees and pray. Not for your gain, but for His. Confessing God's sovereignty and your dependency. Listen, I think oftentimes we feel like, listen, if God's sovereign, why in the world would I pray? What do my prayers have to do with it? The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. God, in His sovereignty, uses the prayers of the righteous. What are righteous people praying for? Same thing God wants. His glory. Things that will glorify Him. Confess God's glory in your own sinfulness. That's what prayer is. Prayer is to God, it's for God, and it's dependent upon the will of God. He's not some magic genie. Get that idea out of your head. He's the sovereign God who created the universe, who you should be thrilled to talk to. So be people who are on your knees talking to Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we already talked about it. Pray without ceasing. And so I want to hear that you're people who are completely obsessed with the glory of God, who are constantly preaching and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, who are closed-minded apart from the Word of God, who are calloused in the knees from continual prayer, and lastly, people who are Christ-like in your love. And this passage says this, John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And if you know anything about your Bible, in John chapter 13 here, Jesus is with His apostles, and they're in this place called the upper room. They're about to have the Last Supper before Jesus is going to go die, and Jesus comes in. And all the apostles are sitting around a table, and they don't want to do the job of cleaning the feet, of washing each other's feet. That's a dirty job. That's not a pleasant job. That's not a job any of them want to lower themselves to. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, God in the flesh, comes in the room, and He gets down on His knees, and He washes their feet. That's the idea of this. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." This is the commandment given to the church. Church, you're supposed to love each other. As followers of Jesus Christ, we love one another. The same way that Christ loved us, in a selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love for one another. That's what the church is supposed to be. Unified. And I'm not saying, wholly united, as in you guys are going to go get along with every other church and agree on all the doctrines. We already kind of covered that. That's not what I mean. I mean here at North Street Christian Church, you guys that are in this room, the real Christians that are here, there should be a contagious love between you guys. I mean, I'm talking a love that the world can't understand. They've never seen it. I say, hey, have you ever heard of North Street Christian Church? And they're like, yeah, it's, I mean, I don't like going there. It's almost weird for me to go there because they're like so close. I mean, they're like, they love each other in a weird way. Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to understand it. That's a Christ-like love. The world can't get that. But I'll tell you what, the world will want that if the world sees that. I honestly believe that a church that loves each other the way Christ exemplified would absolutely turn this community around. If we as the church, we get so caught up on gossip or on what we're offended with or what we didn't like, how that happened, or you know, all the different things. If we had a real selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love for one another, I mean, the way Jesus has called us to, it would be something the world doesn't know how to handle. And I truly want to see it from North Street Christian Church. I think you guys do a great job of loving each other sometimes. I think you guys are a great example of loving each other on occasion. But I think if you become known as a church that loves each other, you'll have an amazing impact on this community. And I'm talking real love, the way Christ loved. So those are just five simple things from my heart. I could have gave you like 30, but I gave you five things that I've been basically praying about for 5.5 years for you. I mean, this is kind of the idea. This has always been on my heart and on my mind for the people of North Street. I want them to be people that glorify God with their lives. I want them to be obsessed with the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, I want that to be in every conversation we have. Let's point people to the cross. I want them to be people that pray. I want them to be completely closed-minded to anything apart from the Word of God. And I want them to love like Christ. And so I will continue to pray that for North Street Christian Church as I head out. This isn't the end. This is just a goodbye until I come preach to you guys again, hopefully. But I do. I love you guys and thank you. And it's been a real blessing. So. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the grace that you have given us. You are just an unbelievable God. And God, there's not one of us who deserves anything. But God, you have blessed us with a chance to have a relationship with you. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we might live. And God, we boast in His accomplishment, not our own. We boast in what He has achieved. So God, I pray and I ask you that you would just help us to become people who are focused on the Word of God. And as we focus on the Word of God, we will see the cross and Jesus Christ within it. And God, you will be glorified in and through us. God, I pray that we would hit our knees and we would pray. We would be a church that understands the importance of communicating with you. We would be a church that realizes that we are completely dependent upon you, that we can do nothing apart from you. So God, we bring everything to you. And God, I pray that we would love the way Jesus Christ did, in such a way that the world sees Him in and through us, ultimately so that you are glorified. So God, thank you so much for the impact that this church has had on my life, for the blessing that North Street Christian Church has been to me. And I just pray thanking you for how faithful you have been in allowing me to be used for you. In your name I pray. Amen.